GNC498. It's Tuesday, it's Friday, July 31st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast. Got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out the great content we got over there at the website. Of course, we want you to get subscribed to the podcast. That's the most important thing that guarantees that you'll get the twice weekly show that I produce here delivered directly to your multimedia player. You can do that by subscribing to the podcast either via iTunes or Zune Marketplace, or use your favorite podcatcher. The RSS feed and all the links are, of course, on the website at geeknewscentral.com. And we definitely encourage you to get over there and over to the website and get subscribed. Of course, all of the Hana, I want to welcome all the longtime listeners to the show. Of course, I want to welcome those of you that have stayed up late for this recording and are visiting or watching us on Ustream. The show is recorded live on Ustream, but it also is primarily put together for our audio listening audience, who gets the show delivered directly to their media players every Tuesday and Friday, like clockwork. We're on show number 498. We're two away from show number 500. I'm pretty excited about that. Putting together show 500 has been kind of a little bit of a work in progress as we've moved along. But we're going to have a great event on show 500, and I look forward to putting it together. I hope that you'll join me on that day when we do the live event, as many as possible. Stay up late. It'll be worth it for the 500th show extravaganza. Of course, hey, get signed up for the newsletter, and if I remember to press the little send newsletter button when I publish the show, you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Of course, the show notes contain all of the content that I covered during the podcast tonight, including links that I have received from our loyal listening audience. And that'll get you all the tech that I'm going to cover as well. Got a pile of it tonight to go through, but we've got some major things to talk about beforehand, and also a serious issue that has come up in the podcasting space that I have been contemplating what I am going to say about that issue here for a day and a half. But we'll get to that here in a little bit. Hey, I want to send out my condolences to Andy McCaskey over at SDR News. His father did pass away earlier this week, and talked to Andy a little bit earlier today. They were going to the funeral viewing and getting ready for the actual funeral tomorrow. Andy will be transitioning back to his home in Indiana on throughout the weekend, and he should be back doing his show live on Monday. But Andy, you know, for really the last 5 years, just like I have, he has been a loyal, dedicated content creator, creating 5 to 6 shows every week. And, of course, I encourage you to get subscribed to SDR News. It's a short newscast that he produces each day, but he puts almost as much time into producing his short show as I do putting into delivering this 1 hour and 15 minutes montage of information. But Andy was supposed to be doing his giveaway this week. He was basically his Podcast Madness code for his audience members was this week. His code is REPORT. REPORT. So if you get over to podcastmadness.com, you'll definitely want to enter the code at, you know, put it in there, go out and go ahead and, you know, I want to give Andy as much love as I can on this so that his, you know, obviously his listener audience doesn't completely cross here, but Andy's code was, again, report. You can go over to podcastmadness.com, enter that, and have a chance to win one of those great prizes that we're going to be giving away here in the first week of August or so. Of course, I want to remind you all that you should check out the free magazine offers at geeknewscentral.com. There's lots of great – there's a link on the second column of the website where you can go over and check out different tech mags, white papers, you name it. There's all kinds of cool stuff there. So that helps support the show here as well. Hey, we're going to do the iTunes reviews for two more shows. So on show 500, not only are we going to be giving away a cool prize to one of our needy listeners, we're also going to be giving out some additional prizes, and one of those prizes will be for one of the listeners that have submitted an iTunes review. Again, it's you can put whatever you want, positive, negative, indifferent, as long as you have. It's just kind of the honor system. Send me an email, let me know that you did, and I'll put you in the drawing for that. We really don't I don't go over and check those, but I've gotten a number of you that have submitted new reviews or updated reviews to iTunes, and I definitely appreciate, or Zune Marketplace as well. It's greatly appreciated. This week has been a pretty busy week for me here, as well as my wife. It's the last week before our kids go back to school. We've had just the last minute running around, physicals, last stuff to get for school supplies, you name it. And I don't know what it was, but as you all know, I don't sleep very much. And for those of you that haven't been listening to the show for a long time or understand my complete schedule, it's pretty intensive. From about 5 a.m. to 6, I get up between 5 and 6 a.m. every day, except for Saturday. I may sleep in to maybe 7, and Sunday usually about the same as well. But generally, I go to bed about midnight, 1 o'clock, get 4 to 5 hours worth of sleep. But Wednesday, it was like my world tumbled around me. We finished dinner, and I had planned on coming to the office and working for 4 or 5 hours, and I sit down on the couch, and I just fell out. Woke up the next morning, I'm like, wow, that never happened before. So I guess the long hours kind of caught up to me, and just goes to prove that I need to be taking a little bit better care of myself. So once again, I am in the episode of trying to get fit and lose weight. And, you know, that's just a sign of the times. I got to go out there and put as much investment back into my body as I take out, because I definitely take a lot out. So it was kind of a wake-up call for me. Hey, did the TPN Weekly after the last show. So those of you that kind of hung up on Ustream on the last podcast, you got a little taste of how I do an off-the-cuff live show, and you actually got to see me goof up. It was kind of funny because I started out, and I did about a minute, and I really flubbed it bad. So I just said, hey, this is a podcast. I stopped, went back, recubed the recording, and did it over. So I get over to techpodcast.com. Of course, I'm a member over there, along with 140 some other great shows, family safe shows, and check out the TPN Weekly that I put out. Gives you some history on the Tech Podcast Network. And of course, Andy McCaskey, again, he's one of our plank owners, or as I call him, and he's going to be in the barrel here to do a weekly as well, but I thought I'd give a little bit of history. And I don't know if I covered it at the beginning. I kind of got into Andy's code. But again, major condolences out to Andy McCaskey and in his family, of course. All right, Blog World Expo, lots of things going on. And here I'm asking a little help from the audience. If any of you live in Vegas, just send me an email. I got a couple of questions I want to ask you on the QT. We're doing some, top secret investigation of some things we're going to do during Blog World, and I need a Vegas native to send me an email to give me some ideas or give me some feedback on some things we got planned. So if you're a Vegas native, geeknews@gmail.com, and you have to keep it in confidence now. We can't blog or anything. And we'll let you in on the secret and see if you can give us some feedback of what we got in mind. All right. Yesterday morning, and of course, I'm recording this show Thursday night. Yesterday morning, Wednesday morning, I awoke, like I normally do, and I came out the office. And normally the first thing I do is I check email. Actually, my machine had rebooted. It rebooted from the push that Microsoft had put out. I went, it was rebooting, and I went and jumped in the shower, and then I came back in the office. Everything was booted up. I checked email, and I load techmeme.com, and I'm kind of scrolling through, and I see this headline: podcasting patent issued to Volvo Media. And I said, And I loaded the link, and I read through this, and I was incredulous. I just could not believe it. Now, it really wasn't AKA a podcasting patent. That's the title everyone has put upon it. It was about a episodic patent. But essentially, some of the things they covered in there can be applied to podcasting. At least that's the assumption. And I'm not going to comment on the merits, on the viability, on the... All I'm going to say is Dave Weiner, Adam Curry are, without a doubt, the two individuals that invented podcasting. Anyone that says anything different is wrong. Now, here's the reason why. As early as, I think, 2000 or 2001, they were working on this exact mechanism and how podcasts would be, or what would later become term podcast, of delivering media via an RSS feed to a media device through an enclosure tag on an RSS feed. Now, there was some work in 2003 by some other individuals to did some demos, talked about taking a little further, and I don't have in my fingertips the exact day that the word podcasting was termed. Now, you can go to my book, and I've got an extensive section in there on the history of podcasting and how this all developed that I researched very, very thoroughly. But I can tell you, folks, Volo Media did not invent podcasting, okay? They submitted their patent in 2003. Now, the majority of podcasting, or the majority of the word podcasting and what was become known, it started really in 2004. But all this other discussion, what led to this evolution in media and what has changed the lives of hundreds of thousands of people and have created, essentially thousands and thousands of channels of content, was not from their work. Most people don't even know who this company is. They've had very little interaction with the actual quote-unquote podcasting community. I don't know. I'm just troubled that the patent office would issue this patent. There's definitely enough prior art. There's definitely some history here. I haven't looked at the other patent submissions that they've got. I don't know. It's very interesting. And there's a lot of different interpretations of what the actual patent means, implies, what effects it may have. The CEO of the company over there has come out and said that they're not going to be going out and, you know, being aggressive. But companies that become financially strapped then become targets of companies that are looking to acquire patents to exploit and try to, and I'm not saying that they're going to do this at all, but I am saying that as of right now, they're saying they're not going to go out and do any of that activity. But at the same time, history has shown us that companies that get in trouble down the road end up becoming a acquisition target solely based upon the patents that they have for the exploitation of using those patents to garner money from other folks. So time will tell what happens with this. There's been quite the uproar. I would not want to be on the receiving end of the negativity over the past couple of days. And, you know, I think that it was presented by them in a way that made people really sit back and go, Now, they put up a second post today that makes people sit back and go, as well. And that, to me, is slightly troubling. So I know a lot of people were hoping that I would be up here screaming and yelling, and it's just, I'm not going to do it, but I am concerned, and well, hopefully that they continue to be profitable, and I hope that they continue to move forward and generate revenue and don't get into a situation that would make them the target of someone that was trying to exploit a patent that they may or may not have. Now, again, this is all up for some any type of, you know, if it's pushed, there could be some legal issues that are, you know, that arise. And if some company decided they wanted to fight this, they could. And those battles are all usually long and expensive. And, you know, a lot of IP lawyers out there make millions of dollars by trying to get patents struck down. So it comes at a time in a place in the podcasting space, I think, that it's not healthy. It's a time when we're all trying to build a business, and the media creators are trying to find ways to monetize the shows to the best of their ability, and companies are trying to remain profitable and stay in business to support those folks. And this is just a distraction at this point. Time will tell what happens here. And it's an interesting development. It really, really is. And I'm sure many of you will have your own commentary and your own thoughts and opinions. And I encourage people to, you know, say what they think about this. But what is done is done. What will happen is or may happen. And we'll see over time. I probably will be very picky on playing audio comments based upon this topic. I guess we'll see. We'll see. I have to. This is the first time I'll have to think about whether or not I want to play any audio comments based on the proceedings. You know, go ahead. If you want to send them to me, you can, and then I'll think about it as I move forward through to the next show. Okay. I probably said more than I should. Let me go ahead and move on here. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline +1 619 342 7365. All right, as we march towards show 500, yes, we are going to give some money away to a needy family of the Geek News Central podcast family. If you feel you are in financial straits and you would like a little, you know, just a little bit of a supplemental for the upcoming month, definitely drop me a line. Tell me what's going on, and we'll put you in the running for our giveaway on show 500. If you would like to contribute to that giveaway, podcast@podcastconnect.com is the actual email address that you can submit your donations to via PayPal. And every dime that comes in for that donation, market show 500 donation, we will make sure gets into the kitty that goes to our needy family for show number 500. Your contributions are greatly appreciated and will add to the amount that that I am going to contribute as a base amount. All this would not be possible without our sponsors. Of course, I want to thank GoDaddy.com for being a longtime sponsor here, and thank you for continuing your support of GoDaddy. Domain names, servers, hosting accounts, SSL certificates, domain auctions, extra services that you can get at GoDaddy, all. You can save money when you get to the checkout counter by using my promo code TODD or Geek5 to save 15%. Then, of course, if you want to save some money on .coms, ComSale is a great one to use. That Todd code will save you 10% on non-domain orders. And I want to thank you all for your support over at GoDaddy.com. Let's talk just a little bit about GoToMeeting, of course. Hey, this, if you are doing any type of online collaboration, you're doing meetings, you're doing anything that involves working with someone else online, just use GoToMeeting. It's the absolute best online conferencing solution. You know, really, you pay a flat monthly fee, get unlimited usage, You can use their voice IP service, so you don't even have to pick up a phone or a cell. You just put the headset on from your computer or use the speakers and mic that's built into your laptop, and you're good to go. You can have a conversation, walk through different proposals. It's just like being there, and especially if you're the recipient of a GoToMeeting invite, you just click on a button, boom, it loads instantaneously. You don't have to have a license or anything, and you're right there on the desktop of the presenter. So imagine you being the actual presenter, and you can do that by getting a free 30-day demo of GoToMeeting by going to GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for a free 30-day trial. All right, thanks for GoToMeeting, and GoDaddy for being longtime sponsors here at Geek News Central. Okay, let me go ahead here and bounce into our show tonight, our tech show. And, of course, I want to encourage all of you, again, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is, area code is 1 for those of you outside the United States, or country code is 1. And then the telephone number is 619-342-7365. All right, going to be meeting up with Chris Perillo tomorrow. He's going to be here in Hawaii visiting a friend of his. We're going to be meeting up at the Tiki Grill and Bar in Waikiki tomorrow night at 5:30. Those of you that are here in Honolulu that are listening to the show, definitely want to come out and hang out with Chris. We'll be there from 5:30 to 10. It'll be a great event. You definitely want to check Chris's show out at Chris Perillo or at Perillo.com and check his live show out on Ustream as well. And I think you'll get a kick out of a lot of Chris's great content as well. So look forward to meeting up with Chris and yakking with him. And, of course, I'll have a report on that on the next show. All right, the folks at TechCrunch have been talking Michael Arrington at TechCrunch has been talking for a long time about what he has termed the Crunch Pad. And today, the Crunch Pad has been revealed. A prototype appears on a website that I've never heard of before, but they've got the lowdown on this thing. It's going to weigh 1.2 kilograms. It's going to have dimensions of 12 inches wide, 7 inches tall by 0.74 inches in width. It's going to have a 12-inch screen. It's going to be running on a 1.0 gigahertz Atom at plus 1 gig of RAM. It's going to have the software on. It's going to be a WebKit browser / operating system developed by the Fusion Garage team. And it's going to have a built-in EVDO. Price has been unconfirmed, but approximately $575 U.S. So it looks like this is going to be the real deal here, folks. This was reported in the Straits Time on Friday. So this is pretty cool stuff. It's kind of cool to see Michael Arrington's stuff get scooped and on the street before he wanted to announce it. But this is a reality, and this may come out at the same time that the actual Apple tablet comes out. So if it is, he could end up having some depressed sales, that's for sure. Now get a load of this one. This article here it's just an amazing what the RIAA continues to say. How many of you've got music on your PCs that are really at this point, loaded with DRM? You still have to get a validated license to use it. There's really no way to run the music without connecting to the internet. Or, you know, how many of you have got DRM music on your actual machines? Well, it appears that the RIAA does not think it's right that all of you should have access to that DRM music for eternity. They said that consumers, now this is exactly what they're saying, consumers shouldn't expect that their DRM servers to stay online and allow them to play their music to play forever. This is no joke. Again, the RIAA is claiming that consumers shouldn't expect the DRM servers to stay online and allow them to play their music to play forever. Now imagine you went out and bought music. It's got DRM embedded. And you go out and you've spent some money. your hard-earned money, and you decide to load it up in whatever DRM-enabled media player you have, maybe on your computer or whatever, and it goes out and validates your license and says, hey, I can't validate the license to this music or this video. I'm sorry, Charlie. No longer can you play this music. Go out and buy it again. I don't get it. I really don't get it. This is this makes you want to never, ever buy another media file, never buy any type of digital media ever, ever again. It's just shocking. If that's what they're saying. This is in a hearing at the Copyright Office through some DMCA hearings. Just amazing. It really, really is. All right, the court has given the Pirate Bay 10 days to shut down. In the Netherlands, the court has said, hey, you don't shut Pirate Bay down and make it inaccessible to any but person in Netherlands, you will be facing a charge of 30,000, I guess that's euros, or $42,000 for each day that you don't comply. They want them to block all traffic from the Netherlands to the Pirate Bay. How do you do that? How do you block every IP connection in the Netherlands? Who even owns the information to get that IP block? How would you even know? But this is pretty interesting. These guys are getting ready to go to prison. They got to pay a bunch of money, and now they got to go and block every user of the Netherlands from accessing the Pirate Bay. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. This is a cat and mouse game, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see if they play along. That's for sure. All right, Akihabara news. And of course, Akihabara. If you've been to Japan, you've been to Tokyo, you need to go to Akihabara. It's not as big as it used to be in its heyday, but you used to be able to find all kinds of electronics you didn't find anywhere else in the world in Akihabara. I was there in the early 80s, and it was just an amazing place to go. And really, at the time, I had a Visa card that didn't have a lot of credit on it because I was, you know, just getting into having a good job and, you know, not having a lot of credit. And I would max that baby out every time, plus empty my wallet of cash. But the folks over there are introducing a microphone set. And this is actually coming out by Logitech. It's been seen in the wild over there, where you're going to be able to have a Logitech microphone set that'll plug into your iPod and give you a good microphone. Those of you that were on Twitter earlier today probably saw my tweet that had an audio file connected to it reminding you of the show tonight. And this would be pretty cool because the mic quality's not real good, of course, on the iPhone, but stick this baby right on there, and if it ties to the system, you can probably end up getting pretty good quality out of the iPhone or the iPod Touch. So we'll see what happens here with this when it comes out. Don't know what the price is going to be, but the link is, of course, will be up in the show notes. Those of you that are Apple users and you have used Time Capsule, Time Capsule has been upgraded. Now you can buy a 2 terabyte Time Capsule for $4.99. Kind of curious, besides the Drobo, what are you guys using out there that are Mac users to back up your Macs? You know, right here in the house now, we've got 2 Macs that are actively being used. And at this point, and I got to thinking about it, I got all my Windows machines backed up, but I really never put my Mac to, you know, you guys are going to say, oh my goodness, what are you doing? I haven't backed it up. Now, I've got a Drobo, so I could probably just plug that in and turn Time Machine on and let it do its thing, which I should do. But usually, I've only used my Drobo for backup of video and that kind of stuff. So what are you guys using out there? Are you guys using Time Capsule, or are you using another type of device to back up your Macs? Now, are you using an online service? I'd love to hear your feedback on this. Geeknews@gmail.com. Help the old geek up here get his Mac machine safe. You know, I guess it's one of those things. So worried about the PCs. Then I look over here, I'm thinking, I didn't do that for those. I think I better get my butt in gear. So send me your suggestions in email or the voicemail hotline. All right, Nintendo. is saying that profits slid 66% in the last quarter. This is interesting. Quarter one profits were 40 billion yen against 74.5 billion yen. They forecast a drop of 12%, which pretty much matches what they're reporting. The annual Wii sales targets are about 26 million units. So the Wii has started to see a little slide in sales. And that's probably, you know, as suspected with the economy the way it is. But 60% in quarterly offering profit on slow demand for its Wii video game consoles. And, of course, the stronger yen. In other words, the yen, it's made our buying dollar go less far in buying Japanese goods. So anyway, nothing major there, but I think the takeaway was the actual lesser demand in Wii consoles. All right, I had to laugh because last night I was reading. I said, "Oh, hey, Apple's going to be at CES 2010." I was like, "Awesome!" I was like stoked because I saw this article on Wall Street Journal. I was like, "Oh man, perfect, absolutely perfect!" You know, because Apple's never had a big presence, maybe a tiny little presence or none at all at the CES in the past. And of course, with them not being at Macworld, I said, "Man, perfect! If they're going to be there, it's going to be awesome." Well, the Wall Street Journal got me all psyched up, and then Engadget said, "Hey, what's the Wall Street Journal talking about? Apple is not going to CES 2010. This is not happening." And I don't know how the stories got construed, but one Wall Street Journal reporter was at a dinner with the same one of the Engadget writers, and the Wall Street Journal basically said, "Oh, Steve Jobs is going to be doing a keynote." And while they didn't call out specifically that Apple is going to be there, the headline, of course, made it imply that. And the folks at CEA, Robert Shapiro, who is the president or CEO of CEA, basically said, "Hey, Steve Jobs doesn't return my emails either, you know, so don't count on it." And they've actually announced some of the keynote speakers already. But I would bet that if Steve Jobs said, "Hey, I'll come over to CES 2010 and do a little keynote," I bet you the CEA would say absolutely, and they'd make a slot for him and bump somebody. But that's not the case right now. So we will see what happens with this here. But, you know, it's kind of funny, too, because the Engadget writer basically says, "Hey," during the meeting, there was one other a mainstream media guy that was bashing Engadget for not being accurate on the reporting. And then right after that, Wall Street Journal reports kind of a little bit of a fib there. Hey, on Gizmodo, I'm always looking for cool stuff to be. My office is just a mountain of wires, and if it wasn't for my lovely wife, it would be worse, because she's came through, you know, got everything kind of organized and make things look halfway neat. But still, with the cameras, with the multiple computers, with the TriCaster on the floor, with multiple camera positions here in the office, there's definitely a jumble mass of wires in this room. And I'm always looking for stuff to keep the office organized. Well, the folks at Gizmodo are giving away some stuff. But what I thought was interesting here is they've got 10 different cabling organizers that, if you go over there, you got a chance to win in some of this stuff. But you can get information on each of these companies. And I saw, "I want that. I want that. I want this. Oh, I got to get that." There's at least 5 items in here that I saw that would say, "Wow, that would clean this up," or "That would clean that up." If you've got that tangle of wires and mess underneath the desk or on the floor or around the house, you got to check this out. This article will be definitely one that you want to look at, and then you'll be able to link up to each of the 10 different articles. And that's one of the things that's kind of cool about getting ready to have some electrical work done in the house, because I've kind of expanded. I got to thinking, man, I could put different drops. I could have this guy put different drops in the office so that all I would have to do, instead of running a 20-foot video cable, all I'd have to do is run a short 5-footer, and it would, you know, be able to real clean up real easy after the show. And so I've expanded how I'm going to do things here in the studio, which I'm pretty stoked about. And, of course, he's went back and he's got to rebid it because it's going to cost me more money. But, anything to, of course, you know, my studio is part of my house. And when the actual studio doors open, people that coming in the front door of my house, coming into my living room, can actually see into the studio. So my wife has obviously put her foot down to make sure that it's presentable. It's not like squirreled away in a basement somewhere. We don't have basements in Hawaii. And that's the main thing. I'm trying to keep her happy. So we'll try to get some of this neatness going. All right, I received at least 10 emails from folks today asking me about the change of from Feed Demon and News Gator. It's basically an announcement that came out from the folks saying that News Gator is going to essentially change the way their synchronization platform works. So if you're a Feed Demon user, what has happened to this point is that you could get a free NewsGator account. And with that account, you could sync what your RSS feeds were from Feed Demon to NewsGator and vice versa. Now, since the release of Feed Demon version 3.0, you have been able to not only sync with NewsGator, but you've also been able to sync with Google Reader. Now, at the end of the month, what they're going to do is no longer will the sync be available from Feed Demon back to NewsGator. So what will happen is you will only be able to synchronize between Google Reader and Feed Demon or NewsGator, excuse me, yeah, Feed Demon and Google Reader, or NewsGator and Google Reader, which really is kind of a cool way to go if you think about it, because you could have Feed Demon, you can have access to Google Reader, or you could do through NewsGator. So I don't know how the three are going to work real close here together, but NetNewsWire is another application for those of you that are Mac users, where the change is going to take place as well. So I think you're going to find the advantage and the power of the Google Reader Sync to be pretty awesome. Now, as you all know, while I'm still a big Feed Demon fan, I haven't been using it here. I use Google Reader exclusively now. But one of my biggest headaches has been managing and rearranging subscriptions, because I have lots of subscriptions to feeds in actual Google Reader, but their management of that mix is very, very difficult. It's not easy to manage and change feeds from one category to the next. I'm thinking what's going to happen is that maybe Feed Demon or NewsGator will be the method where I could actually keep my Google Reader account organized. Time will tell. We'll see how this works. I'll definitely be playing with it. I'll give you some update on it. There's a post over on Nick Bradbury's website at nick.typepad.com. I'll have that linked up in the show notes for you. A big announcement today by a liquor company. Those of you that are familiar with the alcohol product called Southern Comfort, they have announced that they're taking its $8 million marketing spend completely online. Now, you may agree or disagree with alcohol. It doesn't matter. But what I wanted to point out here is that they're taking their entire advertising budget and they're going to be spending it online. They're not going to be spending any more money on TV shows and magazines. They're going to be spending $10 million online, because what they were doing before, they were spending $6 million on late-night cable, TV, and another $1.5 million on magazines. All that is going away. So it's $8 million, $8 to $10 million they're going to bring completely online. And they're going to buy ads on TV episodes on Hulu, websites such as NBC, CBS, Fox, and FX. And it's going to pick up ads on Facebook and some adult websites, Thriller and Break.com and some others. I tell you, Southern Comfort ought to come and talk to us. We've got some podcasts in the entertainment and adult category that we'd love to put their advertising in. So if anybody has a connection over there, tell them to give me a call. We'd love to have them on as an advertiser for shows that product would fit well in. Congress is going to seek a ban. Congress is going to seek a ban on texting while driving. is this needed? You know, I was amazed though when I actually put out the call to all of you to find out how many of you were actually texting while driving. And the general response, if you all remember, was that we had younger members of the audience who were texting, while generally the older members of the audience were not. They, you know, a number of years ago, the federal government raised the drinking age from 18 to 21. They and that got enacted across the entire United States. There was the 55 mile an hour speed limit. Remember that? That was in effect for a number of years. That was going to save us gas and get less people killed. So now it's basically they don't want us texting while we're going to be driving 70 miles per hour down the highway. You know, if I tried to text while driving, I would be like rolled over in the ditch. There's no way I could do it and safely drive. So, you know, legislation, no matter what they do, is not going to halt those that were going to text while driving. They're going to continue to do it and be a threat to other people on the highway. What they really need to do is have the cell phone companies invest in voice detection technology and voice translation technology so that you can say phone, text message to, and you know the phone needs to be able to transcribe that and then send. That's the way to do texting, but I think we're many years away from having phones that are smart enough to do that. But texting, Congress is going to ban texting. Yeah, just another law. Big government in control of us. All right, as expected earlier this week, Yahoo and Microsoft has signed a search deal. Some are saying Microsoft got the better end of it. Some are saying Yahoo did. Who's going to know? But all I know is for the next 10 years, Yahoo is going to be in charge of advertising sales across both Microsoft and Yahoo online search. And Microsoft is going to be running the search. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to be using Yahoo's search engine. They may be, but I guess largely the inventory is going to be on Bing and Yahoo. And what's going to end up happening really is that the face of Yahoo.com will not change. The face of Microsoft and Bing and Live.com and all those sites will not change. The specific brand owner will continue to control the user experience. But when you type search for something in those sites, then Microsoft will control the search. And the advertising that you see on both sites will be controlled by or maintained by Yahoo. So 10 years is a deal with regulatory approval. There's going to be a bunch of horse trading going on as far as money goes. A full implementation is supposed to occur within 24 months, and they feel that both companies are going to be able to make this very profitable, saving some cash flow while at the same time increasing revs. So we'll see what happens with this. We kind of knew this was going to happen. Time will tell whether or not it's successful and whether or not they build a viable destination to compete with the Mac Daddy out there, Google. All right, Guardian.co.uk definitely has a article that you all need to read. It says, how does it feel to be sued for $4.5 million? This is Joel Tenenbaum and his legal team have, of course, their first day in court was today. And but he put a actual pretty frank post about the proceedings up online. And actually, the trial started on the 27th, excuse me. So it's been going on for a few days. But this Guardian post is amazing. It really is. It's very stark. It shows the process he's went through, the dealings he's had with the RIAA. I hate to say it, folks, but here's the deal. this guy is a graduate student. He's going for his PhD. And he is in the middle of all of his work to get his PhD, and he's in the middle of a jury trial for file sharing. He was initially asked to pay $3,000. Okay? $3,000 is what he was asked for utilizing peer-to-peer. As the time rolled on, he could have got out for $10,400. But now the record industry is going up to going after $4.5 million in fines. And I hope he wins. I really do. But you know, what misery in your life is, you know, worth, you know, $3,000, you know, he could have been done with all this. Not going to court, not messing up possibly his entire life. You know, I know this is all about principle, but it really makes me wonder, you know, Grady's got principle, Grady's doing this, but if my kid had something like this going on, my advice would be, suck it up. You did it. Pay. Now, if my kid didn't do it, and it was adamant, Dad, I did not do any peer-to-peer, I'd be behind him all the way. But if he did, pay. Because this guy's, you know, he could be indebted to the RIAA for the rest of his life. His wages garnished. You know, he may be making a lot of money as, you know, with a PhD. But, you know, all for the satisfaction of saying, I'm going to take these guys to court. And believe me, I am not an RIAA fan. You guys know that. What do you guys think? Should he fight? What's your feelings? Should he go for it? You know, as someone just said in chat, if he wins, he's a hero. It's the principle of it. But how many of you honestly, just really think about this and answer this honestly to me. If you got a summons, if you got an email, you got a letter in the mail from the RIAA today, and let's say, for example, let's use the hypothetical, you have been using peer-to-peer. You've been sharing files, getting them downloaded, you've been having fun with it, and you get the letter from the RIAA and says, you pay us. Or you go down the road this guy has. What would you really, really, really do? Search your soul and tell me what you would do. I know what I would do. It's the principle. But really, millions of dollars out of your pocket for the rest of your life worth? Sometimes you got to know when to hold them. Sometimes you got to know when to fold them. And I don't know. He's single. He doesn't have a family to worry about. So, you know, what has he got to lose? He declares bankruptcy. You know, what does that mean? I don't know. We'll see. But this is, you know, I'm torn here. I'm rooting for the underdog. He's in for the whole, you know, he's in to the last card is drawn. So, you know, really at this point it's moot point. So, you know, let's go. Let's go, Joel. You know, I hope you beat him down bad. And if you are, you're a hero, you are vindicated. But if you come out like some of these other folks have and $4.5 million later, whew, glad I'm not you. So anyway, that's that. Love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline +1-619-342-7365. All right, got a pretty cool article here. First impressions of Google Voice. If you really want to get some details on Google Voice, this is probably one of the best articles I've read on it so far. A new user's experience. It's got video. It's got graphic captures. Shows you everything in here you probably want to know about Google Voice. And If you haven't gotten your invite, don't worry, it's coming. If you signed up and haven't been able to access it yet, you will soon. All right, how many of you use Gmail to suck in other email accounts? I do. Matter of fact, I suck in all of my email to Gmail from my multiple domains that I have that actually have email accounts. You know, I've got a few obscure email addresses that some people, only a few people know. And then I have like the wide open ones like geeknews@gmail.com. And while I treat them all equal, I have them sucked into Gmail or, over on Gmail. But when I hit reply, what happens is it'll actually currently, it'll put the actual, some of you will see it differently in email. If you're an MSN Hotmail user, it comes in geeknews@gmail.com for such and such email address. And basically it's all about how the header action works within the in the email domains on how stuff gets transferred and doesn't get blocked as spam. Well, anyway, long story short, you can now send email from another address without the added on behalf of or the extra little tag that Gmail has to add to the file when it gets sent from their server versus your outbound SMTP server from the actual account that it's associated with. But you can all change that now. You can actually do everything within Gmail and still use your secondary SMTP servers that you have for your at whatever.com it is. And for those of you that absolutely don't understand an absolute thing I just said, go read the article and check it out. But this is a pretty big deal for those of you that have multiple accounts being sucked into a Gmail. If you're worried about how the actual reply goes out, how it's titled and everything else. So you can get information on it, then you can make the changes if you so desire on the accounts setting page. All right, today the iPhone was hacked via a SMS message. And at the Black Hat Security Conference, there was a demo done today where SMS messages were sent to multiple iPhones, G1s, Windows Mobile, you name it. They were sent to a lot of phones to see the effect, but only the iPhone was hacked. And there's a good article over on CNET where the process was demonstrated, and this guy's phone was the CNET interviewer's phone was locked out for a short time while they until he rebooted his phone. So Apple has not released the fix to this, even though it's been known by Apple for about 6 weeks. So if your phone locks up and it's not doing what it's supposed to do, shut her down and restart it. No guarantee that it will come back, but this SMS attack is real, and according to the article, it could temporarily knock your phone off the cell network, but not take control, and it's a pretty good bug here and a lot of fun. The hackers are probably going to have a heyday with this until Apple gets it patched. And, you know, when hackers are about, they can cause all kinds of cool things to happen to our phones and hopefully not massive, make all our phones bricks. That's the hope. Okay, if you are a Windows 7 beta tester, in other words, an official technical beta tester, you're going to get to receive a complimentary copy of Windows 7. Originally, you are not, but I guess Microsoft decided that was probably a bad PR move. So to show their appreciation, members of the invitation-only Windows 7 technical beta program is going to get a free copy of Windows 7 Ultimate. Hey, it's a tax write-off, Microsoft. And, you know, you guys worked hard. Good for you to have given them that. Pretty cool. Now, this next article is about YouTube, and this is an interesting case study that they did. I guess there was this big wedding party video that really got all kinds of views. I haven't watched it yet, but they were in the video. They were playing an R&B song by Chris Brown called Forever, and I guess, you know, started getting lots and lots of hits. So what YouTube has got now is they've got this new content management tools that helps right holders, in other words, Chris Brown, the right holder to the music, not the people that made the video, but the guy's music that's playing on the video, he was able to claim and monetize the song as well as start running click-to-buy links over the video. Now, check this out. It's not his video. It's some people that got married. It's their video. It's their intellectual property. The video had some music that was played for a wedding, which should be fair use, right? But yet Google has allowed Chris Brown to take control and monetize that video and make money off of the intellectual property of Jill and Kevin Hines' wedding party. I'm about fair use. I feel that we should be able to play a little music in our videos. That's my video. If that's my video and this guy, what do you guys think? Is it fair that Google is allowing the artist to monetize Jill and Kevin's wedding party? Should Jill and Kevin be compensated as well? Should they get a piece of the pie? Isn't it fair that if I have promoted this guy's music in my video and gotten millions and millions of views and he's been able to monetize it, shouldn't I get just a little piece as well of that? Well, not so far, but Chris Brown has definitely made some money. His song had reached as high as number 4 on the iTunes singles chart, number 3 in the Amazon's best-selling MP3 list. So I don't know what I think this is a little bit of I'm torn. I think that that they should have the right to have done this video and maintain the fair usage rights. While at the same time, I understand that he's got the copyright holder on that. So shouldn't there be a little give and take, a little share there? We'll see. But that's not the way it's working right now. Custom ringtones at the right price over on Personal Tech at the New York Times. You don't have to buy ringtones, folks. You can make them. Ringtone Studio for the iPhone is available. Ringtone Studio for the BlackBerry. And there's, of course, a Magic Ringtone Maker for the Mac. There's a variety of different, you got Mixer we talked about on the last show. You guys can make your own ringtones. Don't have to pay $250 to $5 for those bad boys. Just download the app. All right. And you can get those ringtones cheaper. I have this link up in the show notes. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Skype. Skype is in a little bit of trouble. They're not allowed to use any longer the peer-to-peer technology in Skype. You guys did know that Skype was a peer-to-peer application, right? You're sitting there running Skype on your desktop. You're not using it. You know Skype can route calls through your Skype connection to help other people have a better connection, right? You knew that, right? Well, Skype is using a technology owned by a company called Jolted. It was licensed to Skype, but the two sides have had a little bit of a falling out over the license agreement. Probably Jolted asked for a little bit too much money. And earlier this year, Skype asked England's High Court to resolve the dispute. And after that, Jolt purportedly terminated the license agreement. So now eBay is developing an alternative to the peer-to-peer technology used within Skype. And Skype might be in some trouble here because they're going to have to change the way Skype manages the connection quality. So we'll see what happens here. But there's a court battle going on, and it could affect all of us that use Skype. All right, congratulations to Firefox. We're going to hit 1 billion downloads today. This is amazing. We're going to hit the billion mark sometime today. Congratulations to Firefox. Hey, the NASA shuttle's due to land this morning. And we've got a little bit of news on that. NASA discovered that a forward thruster that controls the space shuttle's Endeavour speed and altitude is not working. Now, no worries, NASA is saying. They're going to be able to use the standard control surfaces on the spacecraft to get them on ground in one piece. So I guess this is a little bit of an automated way to adjust the altitude control of the actual, the re-entry. It does a different number of different things. But they say, hey, no sweat. We're going to be able to get her home. So hopefully weather is good tomorrow at the Kennedy Space Center. They're going to be able to get the shuttle on deck. And if you are awake or actually available to watch the shuttle landing, is going to happen at 10:48 a.m. Eastern. So I'll be asleep, but you guys can watch. Adobe's been updated. A flash vulnerability has been plugged. So if you haven't gotten the Adobe update, make sure you update Flash. A link will be up in the show notes. Pretty big one here. A little more news on the big slam that Jupiter took recently, and talking about the probability of something like this happening to Earth. And a little more information on that. I'll have that up on the Cosmic Log. That's from MSNBC.com. You guys, EMI, you know what EMI is as a music company, right? EMI has been notifying. Now, imagine that you're a small music store owner and you've got EMI catalog music in your store. Well, they've been notified small music stores that they will no longer be able to buy EMI CDs from EMI. And will have to buy the product from mega chains like Walmart. Wow. Wow. So if you go into small indie record stores and you're a loyal music buyer, you are no longer going to be able to get music from EMI. Who does EMI have as a catalog of artists? I don't even know. But you're not going to be able to find the back catalog or anything at your local music store. You're going to have to go to Walmart. You guys know my thoughts on Walmart. Wow. You know, I thought the music business was in trouble. Why are they cutting their own throats by cutting off distribution to small independent stores? I don't get it. I really don't. I don't. You know, stupid is as stupid does, I guess. Jeez. All right, over on Wired Magazine, torture chamber. NASA tests next generation craft for space blast. I didn't even know they had this. You guys have got to see this chamber. This is amazing. For the past two decades, I guess, rocket scientists have been trucking prototypes to NASA's Space Power Facility in Sandusky, Ohio. Of course, what else is in Sandusky, Ohio? A great roller coaster park. Oh, yeah. You get to Sandusky, there's one of the absolute best roller coaster parks in the country there. Let's hear from you, Ohio guys. You guys like that park? I know that I do. Well, anyway, this NASA's Space Power Facility is a 122-foot high aluminum vacuum chamber. It's the biggest on the planet and simulates the harsh conditions of outer space. And they're going to be testing Orion in it and doing some cool things. But because Orion is so tall, they've got to build a new facility that allows them to bombard the spacecraft with all kinds of radiation and radio frequencies and all kinds of other stuff. In other words, they're getting this baby space ready. But once you see this chamber, definitely not a place you want to be when they start pumping the air out. That's for sure. Hey, those of you that live on the East Coast, the scientists are perplexed on why you've had such high tides. And I guess NOAA has been rushing to figure out exactly what's going on. But I guess tides have been a couple of feet higher over the summer than what they're supposed to be. And they're putting together wind atmospheric pressure data, all types of different information to come up with a reason why the tides have been so high. So they can't attribute it, by the way, to global warming. It's something else. So they're worried about it. So if you have East Coast property, did you see any of this going on? Okay, let's go ahead and get into email comments. I don't have no voicemails tonight, which opens up a little topic. We're for the show 500. Love to hear some of our long-term Ohana call in and leave your comments. Basically, what I'd love to hear from you guys is your earliest recollections of listening to the show and talk about where we started and where we've come and your thoughts. I'd love to hear your guys' perspective on where we've been over the last 500 shows. Some of you have been with us from the very beginning, and some of you have been with us in double digits or in the early, you know, under hundreds. Love to hear from all you guys and gals. Everyone call in. Let us know what your perspectives are on the show from the beginning, how the show has progressed, what's changed, what hasn't, what stayed the same, what's good, what you like, what you don't like. I want you guys to be as much as part of the 500 show extravaganza as I am, because without you, this show is not possible. And I'm humbled to be able to bring this show to you twice a week. You're such an absolutely fantastic audience. You just, you know, like I say every time, you're part of my greater Ohana. You're part of the family here. And I love doing this show for you guys. But 619-342-7365. Link is always in the show notes on the website at geeknewscentral.com. So no excuses. Make sure you preface the voicemail with this is a show 500 comment or something like that. I probably will preclude playing any voicemails on the next show. So $4.99, no voicemails. Everything will be played on show 500, and that'll give you guys a chance to call in. And I look forward to hearing what everybody has to say. I'll just save them all. I won't play any of them. And then I'll be as surprised as you are on what everyone has to say. So I'm sure there's going to be some fun ones in there at some point. Positive, negative, who knows, who cares, right? It all comes through. All right, email tonight. Verizon App Store to block bandwidth-intensive applications. Well, Verizon's going to do the same exact thing that AT&T has done with Apple. So don't worry. If you want to build a bandwidth-intensive app, forget it. They're going to shut you down. Thanks, Joey, for that submission. I got an email from Tom and others basically trying to have me explain in English what was going on with NewsGator. Hope I covered that for you, Tom. Definitely check out Nick Bradley's blog post in the show notes. Lem, yep, you already heard my comments on the podcasting patent. I got an email from Dave. He said, "Hey, Todd, I'm thinking of setting up a Windows Home server to run Sage TV. I currently use a Windows XP Pro computer. I practically take disk images of the C drive with Ghost. When a problem occurs, I can easily recover the computer to a point in time when everything was working. I'd like to be able to take disk images of C and D drives of the Windows Home server. So the software I found for taking a disk image of Windows Home server operating drive is very expensive. Do you know of any affordable disk imaging software that works with the Windows Home server? I want to avoid manually rebuilding the Windows Home server if a problem occurs. It is very quick and reliable to recover system with Ghost or other disk imaging software." Why aren't you recovering with Windows Home server itself? Is this for your Linux machines or something? Because I don't fully understand. You know, it does a backup of all your Windows machines. I've recovered some PCs here in a couple of hours without having to use a ghost image. I just recover from the night before's backup. I don't know about the backup of Windows Home Server itself. I got 4 terabytes of content on it's almost full. So I don't want to have another 4 terabytes of drives to back up, but I can understand on some aspects maybe. But I don't know. Dave, maybe we'll find out from some other listeners out there. How much is the software that you can use? Got an email from Jim. "Hey, Todd, watch AutoNet mobile Wi-Fi router on CNET TV. I have that link up, Jim. Thanks for that. Yes, Jim, I saw the rumor of the Wall Street Journal report where Apple to attend CS 2010. We already talked about that. And, of course, Jim as well for the podcasting patent. Got an email from Lamar. He says, "Hey, Todd, I think the listening should happen within 48 hours. I listen to several podcasts during my work week. Geek News is among the top 5, but I can't listen to any podcast, news or tech, older than 48 hours. I usually would have gotten the news, tech, elsewhere. Great show, Lamar." Thanks, Lamar, for that feedback. And I agree. The show's best consumed within the first 24 to 48 hours. Got an email from Dale. He said, "Hey, Todd, news about NASA shuttle program, not original source, but has information." And I haven't actually read this yet, Dale, but I have this link up in the show notes. Robert, yep, got the information on the patent. I got an email from Trucker Tom. He says, Uptown resident sued for Twitter post. Just like podcasting, you got to be careful about what you say anywhere about anyone, or you risk the risk being sued. So a woman basically talked about the place she was living in and being moldy or something, the management company not caring about it. And yes, they are suing her for $50K. Thanks for that, Tom. Got a feedback from my friend Ron. Actually, he lives here in Hawaii talking about Windows mobile phones. He said, hey, Todd, in response to your request for input regarding the Windows mobile phone market and its future, I have a Windows mobile phone running 6.1 Professional on T-Mobile. I've been satisfied with the phone, but I agree with you that the platform is definitely not considered in the mover and shaker category. Not much innovation here. It always seems to be on the fringe anyway and not that popular. It works just well enough as to not annoy me. And I typically don't migrate off the device until it either breaks or becomes unsupportable or I get really annoyed. The reason I decided on this platform was simple. It was the only platform at the time that natively and flawlessly integrated with all aspects of Microsoft Outlook on the desktop. Yes, Outlook, Exchange, Sync for corporate use has been around on other platforms like the BlackBerry, etc., but when it came to syncing with Outlook on the desktop, without Exchange services, the Windows mobile device seemed to be the only place to go, as I said at the time. I hear that has changed recently. However, that is why I landed on this platform at the time I purchased the phone. I think it's worth mentioning that with the capability of other platforms to play well with Outlook, there's nothing holding me loyal to the Windows mobile platform. This is something that Microsoft should be concerned about. And for the future of Windows mobile, I think it will be around for as long as Microsoft decides it will. I think Microsoft was concerned about the relevance in space or market share. We would see something innovative emerging from the OS. Can they really innovate, Ron? Yes, it is still sitting on the fringe. To remain out there on the edge for as long as Microsoft decides to kind of support it. Once they get tired of supporting it, well, I guess it will simply disappear. Like I mentioned earlier, no one is beating down the door to buy one, and there's nothing that really remains to actually hold people tied to the platform anymore. I think the next release of the OS will be the last. Aloha, Ron. I got an email from Frank. Give me a link over to The Guardian talking about a RIAA issue, and of course, we talked about Andy McCaskey earlier in the show. And I want to thank Garth for his review. And I got some more links from Trucker Tom. I don't know if I put these in the last show, so I think we're covered. All right, folks. Hey, perfect timing. How about that? We've done good on the show tonight for making time, and I hope that you guys give me some feedback on all of the commentary. And we've had some interesting stuff. And I'm actually going to go back and actually review what I said at the beginning of the show and make sure I'm not rambling. But we'll get the podcast up for all of you that are, let's just listen to it. Those of you on the stream, you've been hanging out for the whole time. I want to thank you all. But we'll be back with you on Monday night for a live recording. Those of you that get the show Tuesday morning or whenever you download it via iTunes or whatever other device, we'll be in your mobile device or online available for you Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern. Again, it's as always been my pleasure to bring you the show. Don't forget about our show 500 Extravaganza. I hope that you will contribute to our fund to help out a needy Geek News Central listener. Again, donations can be sent to podcast at podcastconnect.com via PayPal. Every donation is appreciated. Every donation will go in whole back over to our needy listener. So we want to thank all of you for hanging out with me, geeknews@gmail.com, 619-342-7365. We'll see you on Tuesday, everyone. Take care, and aloha.